In Winyard Brown's play, A Question of Fact, the part of Grace Smith is played by Coral Brown. Paul Gardner by Martin Jarvis, Rachel Gardner by Jane Knowles, and Arthur Lamb by Morris Denham. The action of the play takes place in a house in the grounds of an English public school. The year is 1953. A Question of Fact.
That curtain curtain's up for the nanny.
Well, they'll have to have their supper in here tonight. Dining room's all cluttered up with wedding presents, and the coal didn't come, so they'll have to do with this electric thing. I expect they'll feel the cold after Italy. The college ought to have had this house redecorated, to my way of thinking. Still, Miss Rachel'll soon have it looking nice.
Mm.
Remember how she used to be with her doll's house? Oh, what them poor dolls used to suffer. Oh, it's nice to think of her married, isn't it, with a house of her own?
Oh, well, let her be turned out all right.
You know, Mum, you worry too much. You ought to be more like his mother. She's not the interfering type, Mrs. Gardner. I thought that at the wedding.
Well, there are reasons for that. Anyway, she's not his mother.
Not his mother?
Oh, hasn't Rachel told you? I thought everyone knew. No, no, he's only adopted.
Adopted? Well, I never, and there was I thinking I could catch a likeness. Poor Mr. Gardner, though. Just fancy. Only adopted.
Perhaps you'll understand why I was so anxious when I tell you that he comes from, well, a most unsatisfactory background.
Oh, I see. Well, there, Mum, don't you worry. That don't make no difference. My sister-in-law at Clacton, you know, Carrie, she adopted a little boy just the same way. Carrie used to worry about him something dreadful. But do you know he's been better to her than many sons are, Len has?
Yes, yes, I dare say, Nanny, but you see...
Of course it's true. You never know with these adopted children. There were some people not far from where I lived when I was with Mrs. Duplessis. They adopted a little girl, and by the age of 5, she was getting pennies out of the lodgers to keep quiet and stop bothering. If they wouldn't, she'd make herself a regular little pest, believe me. Of course, she come funny stock. Theatrical people her parents was, and then years later it come out in her. She went on the ice.
On the what?
Ice. Rosemary on Ice. That's what she was in last. Beautiful skater she is, too. Oh, funny how things seem to be in the blood.
Oh, but don't.
Now, Mum, they wouldn't have Mr. Gardner as a master at the college here if there was anything wrong with him now, would they?
Oh, well, I hope you're right. Do you think you can manage now, Nanny? I don't want to be here when they arrive. Mr. Trafford's coming to fetch me.
Oh, what a shame. I was thinking you'd be here just to welcome
them. No, that's much better not. Ah, that'll be Mr. Trafford.
All right, darling, I'll see you.
Good gracious me. That's never there, is it? Oh, dear, I've not started the supper. Oh, well, here you are, dearie. Welcome home.
Thank you, Nanny. Leave the bags, darling. We'll take them up after. Hello, Mummy.
You've caught me. I didn't mean to be here. How are you, my darling?
A bit battered. We racketed about, rather.
Oh, no. We were amazed to get a postcard from Naples. Whatever made you rush off down there?
Here's Paul.
Oh, good evening.
Oh, you found all your letters. Oh, well, it's lovely to see you both.
Il piacere è di ambi la parte.
Oh, it's all right. He does this all the time. It only means the pleasure's mutual.
Davvero. How are you, Nanny?
Very well, thank you, sir. Welcome home.
Oh, thank you.
You'll be wanting your supper. I meant to have it all ready for you.
Well, how are you both? Did you have a nice time?
The weather wasn't too good. Oh, sorry, darling, this is for you.
Oh, from our mother. Mrs. P.A. Gardner. No use, I don't recognize myself.
Well, I must be off. I don't know what's happened to Charles. You weren't meant to find me here, Paul. You mustn't start regretting you've got in-laws who live in the district.
If you hadn't lived here, I should never have met Rachel, should I?
No. No, there is there.
Oh, blast, they've gone and changed my classroom.
Rome was lovely, wasn't it, darling? We so wished we'd been there all the time.
Mm. The weather cheered up a bit, too. Well, I think I'll just go and get the things upstairs. Don't go till I come back. We must have a drink.
Oh, thank you so much, Mother, for starting to cope with the house.
Rachel, tell me, is all well?
Oh, what do you expect?
Oh, Rachel, my darling.
Why did you have to do it? Why couldn't you have left the whole thing alone?
Oh, darling, we had to know.
I'd never have known at all if it hadn't been for you. It's the knowing that does the harm, not the thing itself.
We were only thinking of your happiness.
Oh, I suppose so.
Paul understood that. He thought it perfectly reasonable that your father and I should want to know all we could about his, well, about his background.
Of course he did. He's far too conscientious about the whole thing. That's the trouble. He can't help feeling that perhaps he ought never to have married me.
Oh, well, my dear, of course I must say.
It's all very well for you to feel that, but when he does, it's paralyzing. Italy was horrible.
Hello, Rachel. Don't mind my coming in through the French window. You're early, aren't you, or am I late as usual?
You're late, Charles.
Oh, sorry. Well, my dear, how was Italy? Did it come up to your expectations?
Italy? Well, it was rather cold.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, Charles, she's dreadfully unhappy.
Have you any idea why?
Why do you suppose? Come between them already.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Nina, you didn't start talking about that as soon as you said eyes on
her. Of course not. I simply asked if all was well.
I suppose it wasn't perfectly obvious what was in your mind.
Oh, no doubt it was obvious. It's in all our minds. It must be.
It must not. The only chance for their happiness is that we should put this thing right out of our minds.
It's no use, Charles. It's too big to forget.
Well, is it, my dear? I wonder. I know it. It seems big. But after all, whatever his father may have done, it's nothing to do with the boy himself. He's not a murderer.
But he is the son of one. You can't get away from that. If his father was a duke, wouldn't forget that.
Poor old Nina. You're thinking of Charles Nottingham. I believe that's part of the trouble.
Well, there's something strictly lower middle class about murder. Those awful little houses where it happens. The stuffy, smelly lives of the witnesses.
Well, I like him. And don't forget, he was perfectly willing to release her. He left the decision entirely to her.
That was cruel. Don't tell me he didn't know what she'd do.
Yeah, well, at least she's done it with her eyes open.
It's no use, Charles. When he came in just now, I meant to be nice to him. I was nice to him. Besides, it's not only me. They find it between themselves.
Oh, hello.
Paul, how are you? I thought I must just stay and shake hands with you. Now I'll be off.
You must have a drink before you go.
No, really. Some other time.
There won't be another time quite like this. You don't seem to realize how important you are. You're our first guest. A cigarette.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Lord, I hope there is something to drink after all that. I'm sure there ought to have been some sherry to come across from my old room.
Ah, good.
I suppose this might be made into quite a pretty room.
Well, not bad. I'd have liked something better for Rachel, but it'll be a nice change for me after 5 years in college.
Wonderful flowers, Mummy, in our room. You shouldn't have bothered.
Well, here we are.
Well, here's the greatest happiness to you both.
Rachel? Paul.
Thank you, darling.
Now, come along, Charles, do. Goodbye, Paul. Don't bother to come out.
Right. See you again soon.
Oh, thank you for the drink, Paul. You know, I really am very glad about you and Rachel.
Thank you very much, sir.
You can't call me sir.
What do I call you, then?
Call me father. Oh, well, I don't know. Call me anything you like. Goodbye.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, that's over. I haven't seen you for ages, darling. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? I feel like that, too, when we've been with other people for a few minutes.
Oh, this is wonderful. We're home. Do you realize that, darling? Home.
Yes. It won't do, you know. It'll never do, having them so near. It'll never work.
But I thought he was being so nice.
Oh, they both were, straining every nerve to put me at my ease. The atmosphere was thick with tact.
Darling, what else can people do?
The nicer people are on these occasions, the more aware one is of why they're being nice. The few minutes' time they were here, no one was thinking of anything else. If there'd been a freshly killed corpse in the room, we could hardly have been more chatty and unperturbed. I'm sorry, darling. I'd be all right if I didn't love you.
Paul.
If this hadn't been all mixed up with our getting married, I don't suppose I'd have turned a hair. But just now, when it matters more than ever before, what one is.
But don't you give me credit for any judgment. I'm extremely shrewd. I think you're a splendid proposition.
Your family don't.
If I don't mind, what's it got to do with anyone else? It's not their business.
If they care tuppence for your welfare once they knew I was adopted, of course they want to know my history. Look at the Carter boy. Both parents, chronic alcoholics, mother committed suicide. Look what happened to him.
Oh, darling, he was schizophrenic.
Here you are. I've done you croquettes.
Oh, books, books, books. I've never seen so many books. I was saying to Mrs. Trafford just now, there's no doubt about Mr. Gardner being clever, anyway.
Perhaps there was doubt about my being good.
No, sir, of course there wasn't. Not in my mind, anyway.
But Mrs. Trafford wasn't so sure.
Well, you know what mothers are, sir. Always thinking some harm's going to come to their precious
Nanny,
children.
Could we have some more salt?
Well, there you are, dear. It's on the tray. I told her. I said it doesn't matter who a person is or what a person is, so long as he's home.
All right, Nanny, that'll do.
Oh dear, yes. I mustn't stand here gossiping. Ring if you want anything.
I think she knows.
Nanny, of course not.
She seemed to be, well, trying to reassure me in some way.
That's nannyism. You try a croquette.
Oh, not bad. You said she wouldn't be able to cook anything but bread and milk. What is it, darling?
I was thinking about your mother. Strange of her to write to me.
Well, she and I don't find it easy to communicate these days. I think we both feel a bit guilty.
I don't wonder she does. It was astonishing of her to tell you that.
I drove her to it. I was awful to her.
But she must have foreseen that you might come in one day and say, look, I must know who am I, especially if you were going to get married.
Well, she couldn't have foreseen the other things I said. I said I'd be nothing all my life but a guinea pig for a rich woman's experiments in artificial domestic affection. That's when she lost her temper. I never seen her really angry before. Very well, then, she said, I'll tell you, your father was hanged. It was rather more than I'd bargained for. It silenced us both. Then you all arrived for lunch, and somehow we've never been able to continue that conversation.
I knew something must have happened. All through lunch, you looked ghastly.
And your mother kept talking about lampshades. I couldn't fix my attention on what she was saying. At one point, I was quite lightheaded.
Actually, she thought you had flu. She was afraid of catching it.
And she started talking about upper-class pronunciations, laundry and laundry, girls and gels, and I thought, what would she do if I said, oh, by the way, I do hope you've no objection, but it seems I'm the son of a murderer.
Here's your coffee.
Thank you, Nanny. Just leave it here, will you?
Supper all right?
Delicious, thank you.
Do you think she heard?
No. Anyway, she wouldn't realize it was serious.
Oh, what a curse the whole thing is. Seeped into everything like a fog, like a bad smell. To have landed you in it.
Darling, 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 I cannot spend the whole of my life telling you I do not mind.
That's what I loathe, knowing there must always be something about me that you have not to mind.
Oh, really? You're determined neither to eat your cake nor have it.
Oh, darling, you are wonderful. You always laugh at the right moment, just like that day after lunch when I told you. No one else would have laughed. It saved me, I think. Why did you?
The relief. You looked so tragic, I'd made sure it was bad news.
Wasn't it?
To me, just then, there was only one kind of bad news. There still is.
Yes?
There's a gentleman to see you, sir.
Gentleman? What gentleman?
I fancy he's one of the masters at the college, sir. A Mr. Lamb.
The Lamb? Of course. Well, where is it? Bring him in.
You sounded pleased, dear boy. How delightful. The rewards of eavesdropping. Oh, dear, you're at a table. I'm sorry. I'll go at once.
No. Stay, please. We'll be having coffee in a minute.
Oh, you know Rachel, don't you?
Oh, yes. Of course, we met at the wedding. Besides, I know your distinguished father quite well.
Have a glass of wine.
No, thank you. Do go on with your meal. Please don't let me interrupt.
Well, sit down, then.
No. Very well. Just for the moment. I looked in to pay you and your dear wife a belated call of welcome. I ought to have been ages ago. Very reminiscent of me.
We only got back this evening.
But from the honeymoon? Oh, dear. Oh, gracious, you won't want me then. I am sorry, dear.
I thought you'd be wanting another cup.
Thank you, Nanny. Now you must stay.
No, really.
White?
No. Very well, then. No, black. I always drink my coffee black. Try to persuade myself I'm a man of the world. Ours is a dreadful profession, you know. One's always ashamed of it.
Well, you needn't be.
I sometimes think, no, let it not be true. I am not. I cannot be one of them. And yet I am, of course. There's no getting away from it. I am.
Here's your coffee.
Thank you. Of course, you know what's wrong with them, my dear. So many of them are bachelors. Enemies to life. Two loves. Oh, they swill their beer until their smoking room story, but underneath they're dangerous. They're prim.
What a good thing I married you, darling.
Since my dear wife died, I've come to realize more and more how much I owe to her. One needs to escape from that dreadful common room atmosphere. It's not easy to preserve one's humanity in a public school.
People like you and Mallory seem to manage it.
Yes, poor Mallory.
What?
Oh, of course, you've been away, you wouldn't have heard.
What is it? What happened?
I'm afraid he's dreadfully ill.
Ill?
He went into hospital the week before last for observation. Now they say there's very little hope. A tumor on the brain. Inoperable.
I suppose I owe more to him than to any living man. The 2 years I spent in his form changed the world for me.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. Of course, he's far and away the best man they've ever had here. He's made the classical sixth into something unique.
I don't know how he did it. Looking back now, it seems as if all the values of civilization, of the human spirit, used to be distilled in that shabby room.
Oh, he didn't do it really, I suppose. It was simply the quality of his mind.
Mm. I thought they could operate nowadays for tumour on the brain.
In this case, it seems no.
He always seemed to me remote, cold.
You should have heard him taking his form. Quite casually, by an inflection of the voice, an edge of irony, he could set alight in you a lasting passion for an idea. If I felt I could ever do for even one boy what he did for me, it would be worth the hell of being a schoolmaster.
But my dear boy, you can, I'm sure. You're one of the very few of us here who have something of that quality.
Mallory's form and your library.
Ah.
I suppose they were the two greatest benefits of my time here.
It is. You used the library a lot, didn't you? I remember you quite distinctly. I fancy you were there quite often when you should have been doing something else, physical training or something. I was quite aware of that, you know.
You never said anything.
Well, I've always wanted the library to be a kind of refuge, a sanctuary, among other things. It worries me, you just take over the library when I go.
Are you thinking of retiring?
Well, no, my dear, I'm thinking of dying. I'm over 70, you know. I'm only here at half cock, so to speak. Stop gap teaching and the library. But when I'm at luncheon in the common room and look down the tables at our revered colleagues, I think to myself, no, there's not a librarian amongst you scoutmasters, all of you hearty, narrow-minded men, except you, my boy. I sometimes hope you might consider taking on the library when I'm gone.
Me? Well, I don't know.
Well, you're the only man on the staff here with enough true humanity to make a good librarian. But some dirty little junior boy comes along. You know, one of those frostbitten, chilblainy boys with bad circulations. Children of elderly parents, I often think. And what, say, an engineering textbook. It needs a man who can see that here may be the beginning of some great mechanical or scientific achievement. In our job, we must be friends to life, even in its most unprepossessing forms. And you have the imagination for that, my boy. You can see beyond your nose.
I don't always like what I see.
Ah, well, no, but that's what the chaplain would call our cross. Good night, dear girl. Forgive me for intruding. I remember how annoyed my dear wife used to be in the early days. Someone interrupted our evenings together. Our life slips through one's fingers. I came here for a term, you know, and I stayed 40 years. My whole life has been more or less an accident, as it were. Well, I hope for you this will be the first of many happy evenings. Interrupted as seldom as possible by garrulous old men. Oh, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon.
Not at all.
I'll come see you out.
Oh, funny old gentleman, that. Eccentric.
Nice, though.
Still, you don't want people butting in like that. Oh, dear. I can't get used to it somehow.
Used to what?
Seems only the other day you were sitting by the nursery fire in your red dressing gown having your bread and milk. Now you're grown up, married, and facing all the horrors of life.
Nanny, really? Well, dearie, you never know. Your mother and I was talking about it only this evening. Marriage is a gamble at the best of times. I wish to goodness Mummy wouldn't talk like that.
Oh, well, you can't blame her. I told her. I said, I'm sure Mr. Gardner's all right, whatever his parents may have been.
You mean to say she told you? Oh, could she?
Oh, come now. You don't mind me knowing, do you?
I don't want anyone to know. Oh, I suppose I don't mind so much, but Paul does, naturally.
You know you can trust me. I won't mention a word. He need never know that I know.
Why will people interfere? Oh,
I am sorry. I didn't know you'd mind so much.
We'll be seeing a lot of him, I expect. His house backs onto our garden.
I shan't mind. He's nice.
Well, I'll be off to bed as soon as I've finished.
Yes, Nanny. Good night. You mustn't tire yourself.
Good night, sir. I'm real glad about you, Miss Rachel. I am indeed, sir.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. Good night. It was again. Did you notice?
Notice what, darling?
The way she looked at me, a sort of overacted sympathy.
Oh, don't keep on about it. It's such a bore.
Oh, I'm sorry. The last thing I want to do is to bore you. Oh, darling, don't. What's wrong? Tell me.
We're quarrelling.
We're not. I'm sorry I spoke like that.
No, it was me. Of course you're not a bore. I suppose I'm tired, that's all.
You're right. I ought to keep these dreary anxieties to myself.
It's all imagination.
Is it, perhaps? I don't know.
look in her eyes. Did I imagine that?
I think so, yes. Anyway, it's absurd to read all that into it. How can you ever be sure what a look in the eyes means?
I know what your eyes mean, my darling.
Do you?
Quite certainly, without the shadow of a doubt, they're the most direct, the most honest eyes I've ever seen. Charlie, what's the matter?
I'm lying to you. She does know.
Oh, my God, why can't people keep their mouths shut?
She will, she promised.
I've heard your mother told her.
I'm afraid so.
And that, was that to leave here? That's all?
Surely it'd be better if Nanny left.
Well, your mother might find another confidant. Discretion doesn't seem to be her strong point.
Would it matter so very much if people did get to know?
Well, I should lose my job, of course.
But why? Why should you?
Why didn't they give me a house at once on the strength of it? Crippins, it'd become. My study would be known as the condemned cell. If I sent for a boy to see me, it'd be known as taking the drop.
Poor darling, don't.
Now, you've advised me often enough to take it lightly, make a joke of it. Well, that's the form the joke will take.
Your cigarettes are upstairs on the dressing table.
Are they? Oh, thanks.
Paul, we can't go on like this.
I couldn't agree more. What kind of a man was he? So many kinds of murder. Calculated, callous murders for money, slow, cruel poisoning, savage, brutal attacks from rage or fear, sexual murders, insane murders, or I suppose there are even a few respectable murders you could sympathize with, but not to know the details, when it's the details that count. It was outrageous of her not to tell me more.
But she doesn't know any more. They always try to sever all connection, don't they, to give the child every chance.
Every chance to imagine freely what seeds of violence and filth he carries.
Need you think about that? I never do.
Can you honestly say that it's never crossed your mind, even for a moment, what is he like? What has he in him? Cruelty, perhaps? Yes. Vice? Madness?
No, no, you haven't. You haven't.
What about that first evening in Venice, when I lost my temper with that American? Didn't you wonder then?
No, I thought I'd be blasted out of existence. It was like a lightning flash. I didn't have time to wonder anything.
I did. That's what this thing does. One begins to wonder what one's own feelings and actions mean. I've become a stranger to myself.
But not to me. You're not a stranger to me.
Oh, yes, I'm that too.
No, not to me. I love you. I know what you are.
So don't. That sort of talk means nothing. Nothing! 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 You see? You don't know what I am. Neither of us knows.
All right, Nanny. Now stand back and let's see how it looks now.
The
trouble with you is you're quite a different shape from the captain of the 2nd 11.
He'll be missing his catches in this get-up.
Playing Cassandra, not cricket. Come on.
Oh, what a din. They ought to stay in their classrooms, if you ask me. Not come bothering in people's private houses.
Only on Saturday.
Saturday? I was nearly forgetting. Mr. Garner will be wanting his lunch early. Catching the 12:50 as usual, is he?
I suppose so.
He ought to take you with him sometimes. Make a nice change for you. Take you to a matinee or something.
But still, Nanny. He works all the time. In libraries. Doing research for his book. He doesn't go out for pleasure.
A little pleasure wouldn't do you any harm. You want to keep your strength up. It's time you started thinking about a family.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not so mad about babies.
You? Don't talk so silly.
Do you mind lifting your arms up?
Anyone home? Lord, Nanny, what's happened to you?
Oh, it's for the boys dressing up, sir.
All right, Nanny, let's take it off. We can't really tell on you.
What on earth is it?
Cassandra's costume for some Greek play. Paul's producing. He had to take it on because the manner is there.
What?
Oh, there they are again. Oh, I'm really sick of it. Excuse me, sir.
Appalling thing about that fellow Mallory. Quite young, wasn't he?
50-something, that's all. Where's Murray?
Oh, he's having a coffee with two conservative ladies. I decided I was a liberal.
And I must have those Thursday letters by Friday, then we can discuss them.
Everything all right?
Yes, darling, fine. Fine.
Hello, darling. Oh, hello, sir. I haven't seen you for ages. Darling, I'm going to a cigarette.
Oh, my love, no nicotine. What an emergency. Here you are. Quick, quick. Can't have you having a nervous breakdown.
Isn't she good at it?
What, being the little woman?
Yes. Have you seen the costume for the Agamemnon?
Well, I've seen Cassandra.
Now, That's better. That's the snag about being a schoolmaster, the number of hours in the day when you can't smoke.
It saves 100 a year. Pass me that needle and thread.
Just the hours when one wants to smoke. Let's give the whole thing up, darling, and go and run a hotel in the Bahamas, shall we? Lie all day on the beach smoking American menthol cigarettes?
You can't run a hotel by lying on the beach.
Oh, well, own it then. You're far too good to be a schoolmaster's wife. Don't you agree, sir? She deserves a glamorous international airline sort of existence with a good solid spiv of a husband who knows how to, what's he called, operate the money market?
I gather the boys have been a bit stupid this morning.
Stupid? As a matter of fact, it's been an exceptionally good morning. It's exciting, you know, when boys you've been teaching for months suddenly get a grip of the language. When that happens, something else happens, something quite big, an actual flash of communication across the centuries.
I don't remember that ever happening in my school day.
Well, it doesn't often.
Yeah.
But this morning, we were reading Catullus, wonderful, rackish, romantic stuff. Well, usually they stumble through it, fumbling for the words. Might be a government white paper for all the fun they get. But this morning, one of them suddenly started translating it with real irony and poise.
Irony? You mean you encourage a sophisticated approach to emotion?
No, it wasn't a love poem. Just one of those sleazy social anecdotes. Catullus, back in Rome from a provincial staff job, broke as usual, succeeds in impressing a girl he meets with the number of his servants. Till she asks him to lend her some. Collapse of Catullus. They're not his, of course, they're borrowed. An actual moment of experience like that in the past suddenly come alive, recreated in their minds. Oh, more than that, even spoken, made articulate. They become articulate themselves in English through learning Latin. What about a drink?
No, thanks. Rachel, you've married an enthusiast.
You mean a bore, don't you? I'm sorry.
Lady Charles?
My dear. You've just missed the most persuasive dissertation on the teaching of classics.
It's no use, poor dear. You'll never convert me. Darling, you finished the new covers. They make all the difference. Don't you think she's done wonders, Paul?
What? Yes, of course, she's worked much too hard. Come in.
Oh, there's your boy. Oh, I beg your pardon. Am I intruding?
No, come in. You know my mother and father, don't you?
Yeah, indeed. Yes. There's a boy waiting for you out in the hall, Worsley Fieldhouse.
Oh, blast. He's not meant to come now.
Dear, my daily woman made me a shopping list and I left it behind. I find it quite impossible to reconstruct its probable contents as I don't think her mind and mine quite work the same way. Let me see now. What was it I came for? Oh, yes, of course, to congratulate you, my dear.
On what?
The news about Paul.
News? What news?
Well, perhaps I'm anticipating like the newspapers, but about the sixth.
The sixth? Oh, you don't mean...
But he hasn't told you? Mm-hmm. Oh, dear, now I suppose I shouldn't have mentioned it.
But what is it?
Well, simply that there's a rumour that the headmaster has offered him the classical sixth next term.
Marry Paul! Oh, how wonderful!
Splendid rumour, I must say.
Oh, I do hope it's true.
He'd have told you, surely.
Well, I expect it only just happened.
No, well, perhaps the rumour should be amended. The headmaster intends to offer Gardner the classical six.
I had no idea the headmaster thought too highly of Paul.
I'm sorry about this. I'd better have a look at the boy's work now he's brought it.
Darling, you must just tell us. Is it true about you having Mallory's form?
Oh, I seem to have made a slight blunder, dear boy. I came to congratulate you on something that apparently hasn't happened. There's a rumour you've been offered the classical six.
Is it? It's not true, then? Oh, yes, it's quite true.
Darling, how wonderful. I am glad.
Well, that's splendid news.
Congratulations, Paul, dear. I'm delighted.
It was nice to be offered it, yes.
You haven't turned it down.
Well, not yet, no, but I shall.
But, dear boy, you can't. No one but you could follow Mallory. It's almost a kind of inheritance.
Well, exactly.
I happen to know what you thought of Mallory. I should have supposed you'd feel...
I'm quite aware of all that, Arthur.
But besides, there's yourself to think of. Turn it down and you'll stagnate for 20 years in the upper fifth.
Oh, dear me, no, I shan't be here. Hmm? Darling, I'm sorry. This has been rather sprung on me.
Have you been offered a job at another school?
No. I've come to the conclusion I ought to give up schoolmastering. I'm not really suited to it.
You stuff and nonsense. I beg your pardon, dear boy, but really...
What do you think you're doing instead?
I don't know. Business of some sort. Fur coats for Rachel. Something impersonal. Something that doesn't depend all the time on one's personal influence, on one's personal quality. I'm sorry, darling. We'll talk about all this later. Now, don't worry, will you? Perhaps all I want is a job where I can smoke all the time.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid that was my fault.
No, she's been feeling, unsettled lately.
Hmm?
I expect this offer just tipped the balance.
You think it would tip the other way?
Yeah. It's an appalling profession, you know. The only people who are suited to it inevitably feel that they're not. Do you mind if I go out through the garden?
Do.
Of course, The kind of men who felt that he was cut out for schoolmastery wouldn't be fit for anything. Oh, dear, now there'll be no one to do the library.
You really no idea of all this?
No, no.
Oh, Rachel, oh.
Why? What's awful about it? Have some sherry.
No, darling, we must get back. I do hope it's all right.
Of course it's all right, Mummy. I'd love some fur coats. What's all the fuss about?
Well, it's rather extraordinary. Did you think so, Charles? I mean, supposing you suddenly decided to throw up the civil service soon after we were married without telling me.
I suppose we are different, our generation. I mean, I should hate Paul to feel that he can't move hand or foot without consulting me.
No, it's not that. It's the decision itself that strikes me as a little
odd.
You
don't live in it, Daddy. Preps, early school, roll calls, exam papers. Anyone might get fed up with it all.
Anyone but Paul. We happen to know that he's not.
What do you mean?
You heard him just now about Catullus. That wasn't someone fed up with teaching. Oh, I should say there's something else at the back of it.
Oh, for heaven's sake, need we have a thing about it?
Really, Rachel, I don't know what's come over you these days. You're so touchy about anything to do with Paul. Come on, Charles.
Don't bother to come out. The car's there.
Sorry about that.
You would tell me, wouldn't you, if anything was wrong?
Darling, don't fuss. Come in.
I believe I left my shopping here.
Did you?
There it is. Oh, why, my dear girl. Well, that was a shock to you just now, wasn't it? I wish I'd never mentioned the wretched business. I can't understand it. What's the matter with him?
No, I don't know. Oh, well, I suppose I do, but I thought it was all right now.
I don't want to seem to pry, my dear, but is it perhaps some private trouble with him? No? Well, well.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's to do with something Paul doesn't want talked about.
Ah, then of course you mustn't. Forgive me, dear. Affection, I'm afraid, makes busybodies of us all.
No, Arthur, please, come back. I've got to talk to somebody. Hmm? I can't just sit and watch while he lets it ruin his whole life. Of course he ought not to leave here, we all know that. How can you help if you don't know?
Hmm.
Oh, it can't do any harm, can it, Arthur? For me to talk to you, can it?
No, my dear girl, but you must do as you think best. I shouldn't like to influence you in any way.
I don't seem to have any judgment left. It's all so intangible. It all goes on in his mind.
There's a rather ancient historian. There's one thing perhaps I should be justified in saying. I am a man, and I don't regard anything human as not my business.
Did you know Paul was adopted?
But of course, my dear, I think we knew that, but he was a boy here. But surely that's...
No, of course not. But now... Well, something rather unpleasant's happened. Hmm? Paul found out that his father was hanged for murder.
Oh, poor boy. Yes. But, dear me, though, how extraordinarily interesting. What was it, a well-known murder? Should I have read about it in the papers at the time?
You always read the murders.
Well, of course. Murder is, after all, one of the poles of human experience. Not quite so interesting as suicide, perhaps, but still, yes, it is, I suppose, the ultimate sin. I don't know why one should be ashamed of being interested in that. What was the story?
We don't know. Paul's tried to find out, but it's not so easy. The courts won't grant permission to look at the records unless there's money involved. Mm. Anyway, not knowing has become a sort of obsession with him. You know he goes up to London every Saturday.
Yes, his book sounds most interesting.
No book. He's searching through the files of newspapers to find out about himself.
Oh.
Aha! No, it's bound to happen sooner or later. No, get up.
Paul, I'm sorry.
I know why, darling. It doesn't matter in the least. Now, Arthur, you know why I'm leaving.
No, I don't. Why on earth need it affect your position here?
Well, I'm afraid I shouldn't care to hang on to my job by conceding a serious disqualification.
But it's not... Though I agree some foolish people might think so.
Foolish? Does heredity count for nothing?
But I wouldn't say that, but...
Who was your father?
My father?
Hmm?
Oh, well, my father happened to be a country clergyman, but...
You see, everything you've been saying is perfectly true, of course, but too generous to the particular details that make the difference.
Your lunch is ready, sir. Better be quick if you're going to catch the 12:50 train.
Oh, thank you, Nanny. I ought to have told you I'm not going.
Not going?
Oh, well, I've been running my legs off to get it ready. Oh, well, never mind. It's all cold except the potato.
Very wise, dear boy. Leave it alone for a bit. Look, it's a lovely day. Rachel on the river. I'm sure you'll both come to see the thing in proper perspective. You won't blame her for having told me, will you?
I'm glad she did.
I must say I shall regard you now with even greater affection and, if I may say so, interest than I have in the past. Dear me, yes, certainly. A scandal in one's life, you know, can be a most humanizing influence. It can prevent a man becoming censorious. But not that you'd ever be that, I think. Would you?
You really didn't mind?
It makes no difference. We're leaving.
You pay no attention to what he said.
He's a dear, kind old thing. That's about all it amounts to, right?
But just now, when you decided not to go to London.
I wasn't going anyway.
But you mean you know?
Yes.
Oh, my darling, I am glad. Is it very terrible?
No, no, not at all, really. Well, it's not gruesome, if that's what you mean. I just stumbled on it in the course of my reading.
Last Saturday?
Yes. There was a child, 10 months old, Paul Arthur. My name's and the date seemed to fit. 1920. There's even a photograph of me. Not recognizable, I may say, with my mother.
What was she like?
Oh, all right, except that the clothes of that period were so ghastly, they made every woman look like a murderess.
But she wasn't, was she?
No one's enough in the family. He was one of those people who pose as having been squadron leaders, wing commanders, or what have you. At least they always seem to choose the Air Force nowadays, and it used to be the Army. Captain Ronald Smith, DSO, MP, Ron, to his friend. Good old Ron. Actually, he'd never been near commissioned rank than batman to some MO at a base hospital. He spent most of the war emptying slops, a suitable occupation. In civil life, he'd been in domestic service with a pretty shady record, excellent references, no doubt, all bogus. The kind of undesirable manservant you don't want to get in your house. This'll please your mother, won't it?
Go on, darling.
Well, after the war, he started an employment agency for ex-officers. And that's what he was at when he married my mother. She seems to have been a dupe like the rest. Well, of course, it couldn't last. Eventually, he bumped up against a woman who'd been a ward maid at the same base hospital. She threatened to expose him. He killed her with an old service revolver that he'd bought, second hand, and carried about with him as a sort of stage property, insignia of the officer class. It was probably the only shot he'd ever fired in his life. Through the back of the head. Bang, bang. Late one night, up on the golf links, he'd been trying to get her to keep quiet, and when he saw he'd failed, as she turned to walk away, he shot her. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have told you so abruptly.
Well, not that. But you've known all this for a week, ever since last Saturday.
I had to settle this thing myself. I had to get clear in my own mind what we ought to do before I involve you in it.
But none of this affects us, does it?
The trial was defense of insanity.
But, darling, surely, if he
did... Oh, it failed, of course. Legally, he was sane enough, but medically, with such a history, there's not much doubt about it. He was a psychopath.
Well?
Well, for a start, we ought to think twice about having children.
I think you might have told me. Why did you have to pretend it was because of the state of the world and so on?
All those things are true.
Oh, it makes such nonsense of all our talk. I tried so hard to see your point of view and you are just acting.
An inherited talent, no doubt.
Paul, this mustn't come between us. It never has.
Nonsense, it always has.
Then it's your fault, not mine. You can't ever leave it alone. You let your imagination play over it all the time till it becomes a morbid obsession. Oh, you can only forget it.
I suppose you'd like me to forget my mother, too.
Your mother?
My imagination plays, as you call it, over her. She may still be alive. No reason to think she isn't. She seems to have been quite fond of him. And she doesn't seem to have realized fully what he was till after the baby was born, when she found herself up to the neck in a murder trial. Oh, she gave evidence for the defense. It didn't amount to much. Ron always liked tea in the evenings. No, he was hardly ever out late. Oh, yes, I should have noticed Mud. Ron was always so particular about his shoes. A few weeks later, I suppose, he was hanged. And she was left holding the baby. My imagination plays over that, not unnaturally, I should have thought. She must be 60 now, growing a little tired of earning her own living, feeling a little lonely, I dare say, as old age draws on, wondering sometimes, don't you think, what's become of her son? Or are these the sort of speculations you consider morbid?
Darling, no, I didn't mean that. I do understand. I want to help. Listen, I've had an idea.
Hmm? What?
Well, of course, you may not want to go as far as that, but couldn't we find her?
Oh, yes. Of course, I've put that in hand already. I've got an inquiry agent onto it. I'm expecting a report any day now.
I see.
What's the matter?
Nothing, darling. That's fine. Bye. I thought I'd just put these flowers in her room.
Darling, I'm so sorry about this.
Can't be helped.
Well, if she doesn't turn up soon, I shall have to go.
Could you drive? drop those last two costumes on your way?
Yes, of course. I never thought of her descending on us out of the blue like this.
You don't think there's anything behind it, do you?
Well, what sort of thing?
It almost looks to me as if she didn't want us to go up there and see her.
Well, I suppose if she's poor, she may not want us to see how she lives. Look, I'm going to cut this meeting.
Darling, you can't. The end-of-term staff meeting.
Yes, well, I know, but I hate leaving you to cope with her alone.
I think perhaps it's a good thing. After all, it's a bit of an awkward situation for her, too. At least I can make her feel I'm not hostile.
And what if you are?
No. Whatever she's like, one can hardly not be sorry for her. I can just break the ice a bit before you come.
Well, if that's what you really feel. I'll just wait another 5 minutes.
How do you feel? Excited?
Guilty, for some reason, as if I were going to be court-martialed.
I think I'm a little frightened, too. It's absurd. Nothing to be afraid of, is there?
Truth, perhaps. Responsibility, oh, I don't know. I feel as if something that had threatened me for years in dreams was suddenly here in the room, alive, but not visible yet. Ah, it's all nonsense, of course. I wish we had more money.
What use would money be?
Well, for heaven's sake, we can't have her to live with us.
What?
Well, it may be absurd, but she must be about retiring age. I may have to support her. Even on my salary here, I can't afford two establishments. And when we've left here...
We really are leaving, then?
It's been settled for weeks.
But he gave you till the end of the term to decide.
No man with a bad psychopathic heredity ought to be a schoolmaster.
There's not the smallest reason to suppose that you're in the least like him.
Well, you and I have got to take a chance on that. But the people who send their sons to school here, why should they?
I don't think you need worry about your mum. She's probably saved a bit. Buyers in these big shops earn quite a lot.
You don't know that she is a buyer. She may be an ordinary assistant, the elderly one with bad feet at the glove counter.
You have got a taste for the macabre.
Well, that's not macabre, it's sentimental. I wonder how much bond there is between parents and children, apart from habit. I don't think there's any reason to suppose we shall like her at all.
Never mind, darling, we can cope.
You're being so good about all this, you do know I'm grateful.
You don't have to say things like that. I don't do things for you out of kindness. This is our life, and we need it. That's all. I'll go and get those costumes.
Oh, Lord, here's your mother coming up the garden.
Oh, cope with her, will you, darling? Just for a moment. Shan't be a second. Rachel?
Ah, good afternoon. Rachel won't be long, and I'm afraid I'm just going out.
I only looked in for a moment. I met Nanny out shopping this morning. She said your mother was coming to stay. I wonder if you'd like to bring her over to lunch tomorrow.
Well, thank you very much, but do you really think it's a good plan? I've no idea what she's like.
Then it's true. It's not Mrs. Gardner. Nanny said so, but I couldn't believe it.
Oh, I see. And I must say, I couldn't believe the invitation.
Well, I think you might have consulted us before taking a step like this.
The step, as you call it, was taken by my mother. I simply wrote suggesting we should look her up during the holidays. This morning we had a telegram. She's invited herself here for the night.
I had no idea you even knew who she was.
I shall never understand the etiquette of married life. Does one have to get the permission of one's in-laws to get in touch with one's own mother?
Really, Paul, that's the most unnecessary attitude.
I don't think we'd better start describing each other's attitudes.
Have you no thought for Rachel at all?
That is a question I find it hard to answer politely.
I'm sorry, Paul. But how can you want her mixed up in all this squalor?
Next to Rachel, if I have any obligation, I imagine it might possibly be to my own mother. Judging by the accounts of the trial, she probably needs all the help she can get.
Then you know the whole story now?
We do.
How long have you known?
Here are the costumes, darling. Sorry I've been so long.
Rachel, I'm horrified at what Paul's just told me. Your father's outside in the car. I think he should be told at once.
Look, I'm afraid I can't stop. I'm due at a staff meeting, but Rachel knows as much as I do. I'm sorry, darling. It couldn't be helped.
Would you please ask Charles to come in here for a minute?
Oh, Mummy, no. This isn't the moment. Just when we're expecting her.
I think it's a dreadful mistake to bring this woman here.
Oh, it was
him. Charles, it's true. It is his real mother.
Oh. It's my dear, you look worried. Don't you want to meet your mother-in-law?
I do, as a matter of fact, very much.
Oh, how can you? You know nothing about her.
We do know a certain amount, as a matter of fact.
What's her name?
Smith, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, really?
No, it's genuine. Paul's father's name was Smith.
Why did you ever let Paul get in touch with her?
It was my idea. I wanted him to find
you
her.
You wanted him to?
It's only naturally he should feel some responsibility.
There are ways of doing these things. He could have sent her money through solicitors or something, couldn't he, Charles?
Well,
it's such a mistake to let her know where you are. Once you get mixed up with her, you'll probably never get rid of her. She'll be pestering you and sponging on you for the rest of her days.
He wasn't only thinking of money. There are other kinds of responsibility to one's mother, surely.
I always knew a marriage of this sort would lead to trouble. You can't pretend you and Paul are happy together.
Oh, Nina.
No, Charles. What's the use of pretending? You're both so on edge. It grows worse, not better.
That's exactly the reason why I want her to come. I want to force this whole thing out into the open.
Oh, Rachel, dear, I'm not heartless about this woman. No doubt her life has been very tragic.
Then why do you keep calling her this woman? She's Paul's mother.
And your mother's only thinking of you, my dear.
The lady's here, Miss Rachel. I mean, Mr. Paul's... You know, Mrs. Smith.
Oh, Lord, Nina, for heaven's sake, let's get
away. No, Charles, wait.
No, please, do go. I'd much better see her alone. You'll only embarrass her. Where is she, Nanny? Seeing about the car. She asked which was the best hotel. Well, I didn't know what to say. Here she is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've just been settling where my secretary shall go. We decided the Blue Boar. Was that sensible?
Yes. Yes, it's about the best, I think.
You're Rachel, I suppose. How do you do?
Hello.
Oh, I do think it's kind of you to have me like this on the spur of the moment. I was coming down to look at this business in Bristol, and I thought, well, as I'm practically passing their door...
Wouldn't your secretary like... I mean, I dare say we could manage to put her...
We don't want her here, do we? Oh, she'll be all right. I have to bring her on these long journeys. It saves so much time. She takes dictation while I drive.
I'm afraid Paul's out at the moment. This is my father and mother.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do?
Well, this is quite an occasion, isn't it?
Oh, you know who I am. Oh, well, that makes it all much cosier. Well, my dear, I am glad to meet you. That's one hurdle over anyway.
Well,
I thought coming down in the car, 10-1, the wife will be the snag. But you're not, I can see that.
You've not had time to tell.
30 years in the retail dress trade, dear. You get to know a good deal about women. Doesn't take me long to sum up a customer. Oh, no, seriously. Well, take your wife now. The moment she came into the shop, I'd know she'd want everything sent on approval.
You're right, she always does.
Well, shops always used to send things on approval. Now it's always personal shoppers only and all that.
I know. There's no need to tell me. We'll send you things on approval. I'll make a special point of it.
Oh, well, then. Very kind of you, but of course it rather depends on what sort of clothes.
Well, I know exactly the sort you like. Country clothes from Knightsbridge. You leave it to me. I know exactly what you want.
Well, that's very kind. Makes a great difference to have someone who understands one's requirements. Well, Rachel, we'll be off now.
No, Mummy, don't
go.
It doesn't matter now. I'd rather you stay.
Oh, very well. Did you have a good trip down?
Oh, yes, lovely.
I must congratulate you, Mrs. Smith. How did you know my wife always wants things on approval? It must be second sight.
Well, that's the secret of all business, really. Retail business, anyway. Knowing what the other person thinks, feels, or wants. Oh, it's the secret of living, you might say.
I gather you actually own this shop, do you?
5. I've got branches in Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds, Birmingham and Harrogate. And if this Bristol deal goes through, it'll be 6.
What difference?
Well, not bad in 30 years, starting from scratch, behind the counter. I haven't a penny, you know. And all done by, not kindness, I'm afraid, but by noticing people. Knowing just that much more about people than they know about themselves.
Here's Paul.
Oh.
Curious introduction. I feel rather confronted by parents. The schoolmaster's nightmare.
Oh, my goodness, what a relief. There was one thing that worried me about your letter. It was charming, but just a little solemn. I was afraid you hadn't got a sense of humor.
Do you know where the mark lists are, darling?
They're upstairs. I'll get them. Then we'll all have a drink.
Rachel,
yes, Mummy?
No, outside.
I can't stop. I'm in the middle of a staff meeting.
You came back out of curiosity?
Partly, yes. Well, I suppose we ought to...
Please. Well, see if we'd like each other first.
I thought you could tell at a glance.
Well, in this case, there are factors that upset my judgment.
Look, Paul, I've got the car. I'll just run you up there.
Oh, thanks.
No, when you're ready...
Well, here we are. I'm so sorry about this. I could have cut an ordinary staff meeting, but it happens to be the end of a school year, in fact. The fate of all the young gentlemen has to be decided, removes, examination results, syllabus for next term. I can't very well not be there.
What? Oh, I'm afraid I haven't heard a word you said.
Only that I'm sorry to have to rush off like this. It's no way to meet one's mother for the first time.
Oh, not the first time, dear. We have met before, you know.
Of course, that's sad. One forgets.
We knew each other quite well once.
I must have been quite a different person.
Yes, you were. Quite a different person.
Here they are, darling. You ought to go.
I'll be back as soon as I can. Make yourself at home, won't you? Really at home. See you later. Yes, yes.
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry. We've left you all alone.
Oh, it's all right, dear. I've been quite happy. I've been talking to Ron. Ron?
Arthur, this is nice. Come in, have a glass of wine.
No, dear boy, really, I won't disturb you. I rather gathered you had guests.
One guest, Arthur. Someone I'd like you to meet. Come on in.
No, really, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. I was just leaving you a note. The headmaster asked me. He wants another talk with you.
Why does he keep on like this? Anyway, he knows the reason now.
He knows?
Yes, and I've given him my decision.
Look, you don't want to go. Is there nothing any of us can do that will influence your decision?
No one can tell me I'm not who I am, Paul Gardner, alias Smith. It's all right, Arthur. Don't be so dejected. Now, thank you for the message, but there's no point in another interview. I'll ring him later and tell him so.
But no, you can't do that. You must go and see him.
Why?
What's happening, darling? Hello, Arthur.
I'm sorry, Rachel. I'm just off. Not on the telephone, dear boy, really. It's so rude.
Oh, nonsense.
Don't you agree, Rachel? The headmaster wants one more talk with Paul, but he can't just ring him up, can he?
I don't know. I think Paul must do as he thinks best.
Oh, we all know what that means. Paul's so insufferably touchy about the whole thing that I'm terrified to interfere. That's what you mean, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to do anything crazy about this. Of course, I only want... All right. I'll go and see him in the morning.
Oh, darling, is it all right? Is it what you really want to do?
Yes, it is.
It's not mine now, which I rely on you. No telephone.
I don't think you need worry about that,
oh,
now.
Oh, dear. Your old Nanny. I've just had the strangest...
Oh, I beg your pardon.
No, it's all right. Do come in. This is our neighbour, Mr. Lamb. Mrs... Well, I expect Paul's told you who she is.
No, I haven't. Well, go ahead.
Well, it's Paul's mother, Mrs. Smith.
You mean he's... Oh, good gracious me, how interesting can be. Yes, good heavens, how do you do? How extremely interesting.
You've heard of me, then?
Well, yes, indeed, I haven't. Yes.
We've told Arthur everything. He's our best friend here.
Oh, dear Rachel, am I really nice of you?
Oh, you're a master of the school, too?
Oh, dear, is it so obvious?
Well, my goodness, there's nothing to be ashamed of, is it? Education is one of the most important things in the world. Half the trouble with Ron was no education.
Mm, really? I do hope you don't mind my knowing.
I'm glad you do. I was beginning to wonder if we'd ever be free to talk this evening. There's always someone here. Say, what about your nanny? She came in to clear the table, and no sooner had you gone than she started telling me how broad-minded she was. Does she think Paul's illegitimate?
Oh, really?
I am sorry. We ought to have warned you.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter, dear. If that's their story, I thought, I'm sticking to it.
I'm afraid she got that impression from something my mother once said, and we've let her go on thinking it.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, people always think that about adopted children anyway.
Of course. I used to think it myself.
Did it worry you much?
Oh, not particularly. I used to fancy myself a rather romantic figure, the love child.
I often used to wonder what sort of story they'd tell you.
I was left to make up my own story.
Oh, what did you make up? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lamb. This is such a bore for you. Yes. I'm brimming over with questions I want to ask. 30 years of frustrated maternal instinct. Oh, women are terrible.
Go on, tell us what you made up.
Oh, well. At first, they were more or less fairy stories. The emperor and the milkmaid, that sort of thing. As I grew older, they became more squalid, more realistic.
Oh, how rude. There was nothing squalid about your birth.
Well, you know what I mean? There was a gradual descent in the social scale. The emperor gave way to a drunken undergraduate earl who'd slipped out with a tobacconist's daughter.
My father was a nonconformist minister.
Was he? That must be where Paul gets his conscience.
Has he one?
Oh, very severe.
Later on, when I was at school here...
Oh, were you? I didn't know.
He's an old pupil of mine.
And there says I introduced an artistic bohemian note, the touring actor and the landlady's daughter. There was a long period when I felt sure I was the son of an actor.
You weren't far wrong.
Yes, well, so it went on. These stories kept changing as my experience of the world changed.
Whenever I was accosted near Piccadilly by a large middle-aged lady in a fox fur, I always felt convinced that she was probably my mother.
Hmm. I think it upset you more than you knew.
I find it all so interesting, the whole history of literature in miniature. Starting with stories of kings, semi-divine emperors, right down to the 19th century realistic novel, with its special interest in prostitutes.
Here's coffee.
Yes. Well, dear me, I must be getting along.
Won't you stay and have some coffee, Arthur?
Oh, no, my dear, not tonight. You must have a great deal to say to one another. Oh, dear me, yes, a great deal. Besides, there's a concert I want to hear on the wireless. A Brahms concert. Dear lady, we shall meet again, I hope. Paul, my dear boy, I'm so glad.
What an absolute charmer. Oh, how happy I am.
Because of Arthur Lamb?
No. Because of Paul and you and... Well, yes, Mr. Lamb too, I suppose.
Milk?
No, dear, black.
What about a liqueur?
I'd love one. I thought in the car coming down, suppose they turn out to be the sort of people who don't have drinks.
Where's that stuff we brought back from Italy?
Finished, darling. I don't think there's anything in the house.
Oh, Lord.
We didn't know it was going to be this sort of evening.
We didn't. That's what I want to celebrate. Do you like brandy?
Well, yes, but please don't bother.
It's easy. I can get it at the pub. Won't take a minute.
Oh, my goodness, this is so exciting. To think that all these books are his. 5 centuries of Greek religion, the Silver Age of Italian poetry. Somehow I never thought of all this. Did he go to university?
Oxford, yes.
Oh, she did pretty well by him, didn't she? I thought any woman who deliberately takes that risk must have something in her. I wasn't allowed to meet her, you know. Oh, full information, of course, but information doesn't tell you what a person is, does it? Would you say that, on the whole, he just had a happy life?
With her, you mean? Oh, I think so.
Oh, it's such a lottery, this adoption business. I've often wondered whether I did right, and then to come down here and find it all comes off better than I dared even to hope.
Yes, I suppose it has.
Well, of course, I couldn't have given him all these opportunities. Not as I was then. He's made such good use of them, too. Oh, I feel as if I'd won the Irish sweep or something.
Do you really feel so much for him after all these years?
What, for him? Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's for myself, really. Wait till you've got a child of your own, my dear. You know what I mean. How long have you been married?
Oh, no time at all, really. Not quite 4 months.
4 months? Oh, you're practically still on your honeymoon.
Does that surprise you?
I think it does. Yes.
We had to fit the wedding in with the school holidays if we wanted to go away anywhere. We were married just before Easter.
Where did you go?
Italy.
Italy, what part?
Oh, all over the place. Venice, Naples, Rome. It was lovely.
You didn't enjoy it one bit, did you?
What?
Never mind, dear. Honeymoons are hell.
Are they?
Well, it's only natural. You're both anxious to be at your best, and any little thing that goes wrong, you think, oh, my God, this is for life. Yes, of course, I was lucky. I had a wonderful honeymoon.
You?
Well, of course, we didn't go to Italy or anywhere like that, because Ron wasn't earning very much. Brighton was all we could manage, but even Brighton can be wonderful, you know, when you're happy. I'll never forget walking back along the front late at night. Nobody much about the sound of the waves down below on the beach and the moonlight slanting across the sea as if we'd had the whole world to ourselves. Oh, I suppose you're one of the people who thinks Brighton's an awful place.
Oh, no, it's not that. I mean, are you really happy with him?
Well, why not?
I don't know. When one knows what happened afterwards.
Oh, very few people would be happy if they could see into the future. I guess I've always loved Brighton just because I wasn't happy very long. Of course, it depends on what you've been used to. I've never been about much. I'd never stayed in hotels or anything like that. It was all new and exciting, hotel life. Well, having drinks in the bar, eating in the restaurant with a band playing. Ron always used to be so amusing about the other guests. He used to try and guess what they were, what their relationship was. Oh, he made up all sorts of stories.
Paul does that, too.
Oh, well, that's different. With Ron, of course, it was more or less professional. I didn't know that, though. I thought it was just a game. Afterwards, he used to scrape acquaintances with them in the bar, check up how right he was. I believe he did a lot of business that way. He was always at his best in hotels. Well, that's how he started life, you know, a page boy at Clarges Hotel, Dover Street. Didn't tell me that, though. He used to make out to me that he'd been to a school like this. I believed him at first.
Sorry I've been so long. Here we are.
That's the brandy I always have in the flat.
You know, it's extraordinary. You're so different from what we expected.
Well, what did you expect?
Paul said you'd be the only assistant with bad feet at the glove counter.
Why on earth should there be anything wrong with my feet?
For the pathos, you were definitely a pathetic character. You know the kind? There's always one in a big shop, older than the others, grey haired, marooned among a lot of teenagers, tired out, a bit touchy. Her heart's bad. She has arthritis or something. One imagines her living alone in lodgings with nothing to look forward to but a lonely old age.
And you got in touch with me so that you could do something about that. Oh, well, I thought you were just curious.
Oh, we were.
Yes, of course, but you thought of me as that and you planned to look after me.
Well, we...
Oh, I do think that was kind.
We're quite glad there's no need.
I can't get over it somehow. It's funny, I never thought of you as thinking of me as anything but what I am. Why did I have to be so dilapidated?
Well, we've nothing to go on but the newspaper reports of the trial. Didn't take much imagination to realize that being married to him must have more or less ruined your life.
Yes, I suppose it might have been like that. Actually, of course, it made my life.
Oh?
Yes, I've often wondered what would have become of me if I hadn't married Ron. Why, I'd have had no life at all, really. Well, not what you call a life. Running up and down stairs with trays for 30 years.
Were you a waitress or something?
No, my dear. Mother was an invalid, that's all. Ever since I left school, I'd had to be at home, looking after her, running the house for Father. And if it hadn't been for Ron, I suppose I'd have gone on doing that until they died. I'd have been, well, let me see, 54. I'd have had bad feet then, all right.
Well, but you might have married someone else.
I never wanted to marry anyone else. Besides, you know, if anything had been different, even the worst thing of all, suppose Ron had just been killed in an accident, I'd have been back at that sink at home, sure as Satan, for the rest of my days. But you saved me from that.
I did?
Yes, they wanted me to go back, of course, but I didn't want you to be brought up in a place where everyone would know. So I took you up north and got a job. £2.10 a week, selling hosiery.
That must have been rather a nuisance.
The trouble was to know what to do with you while I was at work. At first, I used to leave you with the landlady. But when you were ill, I used to worry. So I stayed away from work. Well, they didn't like that, of course. I couldn't afford to get the sack. So it began to look as if there wasn't much future for us together. Then came the day when she found out who we were. Oh, well, the whole street knew within half an hour. Well, that settled it. I saw that might happen wherever we went. And you'd soon have been old enough to understand. You see, I didn't mean you ever to know.
You must have been awfully good at your job to do so well at it.
Concentration, dear, that's all. Of course, I was lucky. It was easy for me. After Paul had gone, I had nothing else to think of. Well, but then I was lucky in other ways, too. But those years with Ron were such good training for business. I didn't know a thing about the world when I married. It was Ron who taught me what people are like. Oh, and he knew a thing or two about people, I can tell you. Talk about salesmanship. Ron could sell you to yourself in half an hour. Oh, but I was so shy. It was Ron who taught me how to mix with people, to manage them, persuade them, impress them. Right from those first days in Brighton. Oh, it was ill sometimes, and he used to get so angry. What do you want to be shy for, he used to say. Get people worrying what you think of them. That's the secret. And it is. Oh, poor Ron. Of course, I didn't know, of course, why it was so important to him, me being able to impress people. But it's all been worth it. It's 100 times over. Oh, it was an education simply to be with him.
How long were you married?
3 years. Not long, was it? But long enough to go through the whole cycle. Love and birth and death. Oh, there isn't much else, you know. There wasn't much... Well, there was nothing really left out. Even happiness. I was happy, my dear. After years of dull routine, I've been snatched into life. And ever since, I've had that reserve of experience to draw on.
But surely the end must have outweighed it all.
Well, no one can know. But when you've been to the bottom, when there's nothing worse left for you to learn or feel, you get a kind of strength from that, too.
The strength of disillusion?
No, it's not that. It comes simply from knowing absolutely for certain what counts in life. What can survive everything.
I don't think you have the least idea of how remarkable you are.
Me? I'm very ordinary.
No, you're not. You're not. Come on, darling, let's drink to her. Oh, you're magnificent. It's not what I want to talk about. Good coming out of evil, but it doesn't, you know. Not unless someone's got the power to transmute it. It's the only power in the world, a tuppence. My God, it's extraordinary. I expected anything but not to admire you. Putney Armitia, yes, there is something Greek about you. You've got all the clarity and reasonableness of Greeks, the balance. Putney Armitia, yes?
That's Greek, isn't it? What does it mean?
Putney, oh, no one quite knows it. It's an ancient Greek word of respect applied mostly to goddesses and queens. It's the stock adjective for mother in Homer, revered, august. Putney Armitia, honored mother, I salute you.
Oh, you're so like Rom. You look so like him, too. There now, standing there with your glass, you might be him.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes, and that, too. Everything you do and say, the way you talk, laugh, move. You know, this afternoon when I came in, I wasn't prepared for it somehow.
Well, we were just about to drink your health.
Oh, my dear, and I interrupted. I am terrible.
Come on, Rachel, what's wrong? Are you going to drink your mother-in-law?
Yes, ooh. Yes, of course.
Oh, it's not bad, is it? It's brandy, not at all bad. I loathe austerity. Oh, to be able to afford brandy every night, the water of life. One quite sees why they thought it cured everything.
Well, who did?
Well, pretty well everyone when brandy was first distilled.
Oh, an advertising letter.
No, seriously, according to the best medical opinion. Half a minute, I've got it here. Brandy. Brandy, the great Tudor panacea. Must give an aspirin, don't you think? Yes, here we are. The burning water or water of life.
Oh,
it helps with red and duskish eyes. It is good for them that have the falling sickness if they drink it. It cures the palsy if they be anointed therewith. Sharpeneth the wit, restoreth memory, maketh men merry and preserveth youth. The smell thereof burnt killeth flies and cold creeping beasts. It is marvellously profitable for frantic men such as be melancholy. It putteth away frustine, a ring the worms, and all spot on the face. Now, if you'll forgive me, I must just go and ring up the headmaster.
Paul!
Forgive me, I shan't be long.
Paul, please don't! How could you? How could you?
Why, what have I done?
How could you say all that about his being like his father? He's out there now throwing up his job here, his whole career, everything.
Well, because of what I said. Oh, but that's madness. Go and stop it.
No, it's no use.
Then I will. It's idiotic.
No, don't, please. Oh, I dare say it would have happened anyway, tomorrow morning. But there was just a chance, and everything seemed to be going so well this evening. Oh, it's my fault. I ought to have warned you.
Now, come and sit down, my dear. You must tell me what all this is about.
Oh, can't you be back at any moment?
Oh, I can deal with him. Now, listen, you're exaggerating. Oh, he was surprised. Of course I could see that. But I don't think he minded. He was being quite gay just now about the
dress. Oh, that's only a mask, that awful, awful self-defense.
Oh, you're so familiar. He minds very much, then, about the past.
Yes, desperately. He's never free of it for one moment. He pretends to be, but he's not.
Oh, my God, how angry this makes me.
Angry?
Well, why do you think I ever let him go? Why do you think I kept away for 30 years? I meant this never to happen. What on earth possessed this Mrs. Gardner? She must have been mad.
It was my family. When we were engaged, my mother.
Oh, I see. The old unapproval trouble.
I just don't know how to deal with it. The moment it's mentioned, quick, cover it up. Let's be gay. Let's be ironical. Don't let's ever show what we feel. Oh, we mustn't be found talking about him. He'll be so angry. Oh, you don't.
You're frightened of him, aren't you? Yes, I can see you are.
I don't want to be. I can't get near him anymore. I've managed to put up with it so far because I thought it was all nonsense, his being like his father. But if it's true...
Oh, it's so strange. It all happened so long ago. It's in the past. Even to me, who lived through it all, it's dead. But it's alive in this house. Oh, you have made a mess of it.
I know I have.
No, not you particularly. Both of you together.
There we are. That's done. Ah! More brandy, mamma mia. More burning water. Away with frustine, away with melancholy. I'm quite sure you know it had spots on the face. Hey, where's your glass? Ah.
Now, listen, I'm full of plans. I want your advice. You filled me with commercial ambition. Possibly I've inherited some of your flair for business. One does clearly inherit things. Why not that? Do you think I'd be any good in the rag trade? Suppose I came to you for a job. Would you take me on?
Oh,
Paul.
I'm so sorry. I must just go and see if she's all right.
No, you're the last person.
What? What do you mean?
You can't do any good because you're the trouble. Why is she upset now? Because I said you were like your father.
Oh, is that surprising? It was hardly tactful, are you?
I certainly never have said it if I'd known how true it was.
What? Well, you can't have supposed it would be pleasant news for her.
Or for you, I gather.
I've always been prepared for something of this sort, but not Rachel. She's never been quite realistic about it. Always imagined one could ignore it. One can't, of course. The only thing to do is to face the facts and accept them.
Haven't you just turned in your job here?
I have to do that. Teaching's not like selling hats, you know. When you go and buy a hat, it doesn't matter a damn who sells it to you. When you send your son to be educated, and by educated I don't just mean crammed with facts, I mean having his mind opened up, having his whole character, personality, deliberately subjected to influences. If education means that, then obviously it matters very much indeed who does the education.
Exactly. And that's why you must do it, and people like you.
Yeah.
But you'd be no good at business. You despise it. You're only playing with the idea of turning to business because you despise it. But education, well, one's only got to hear you talk to know at once that it's your vocation. It's the one thing you care about. Well, isn't it?
Well, that can't be helped.
Oh, yes, it can. I'm not going to let you do this.
Really, I'm afraid you must leave a professional decision of this sort to me.
A professional decision, my foot. It's an emotional decision. Throwing your career away because you got into a panic.
Nonsense.
Ron got into a panic, too, just like this, and fired a gun. But that's not really what frightens you, is it? Not just the fact of killing. It's the word. The idea. Murder.
Oh, I know. It settles in your brain and grows and grows.
Now that's over. I was like that before I knew the facts. Since, I've tried to look at them objectively, scientifically even. 20th century man groping for his fate in Pelican Handbook. What else can one do? They tell you a lot about red hair, blue eyes, colorblind rats, and exactly how unlikely you are to have albino twins. But when it comes to character, all they can say is that there's a breed of Kentucky goats who inherit a tendency to fall over when frightened. And even that they're not sure of.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about having children. There are family histories of insanity.
Oh, my goodness. Ron wasn't insane.
Well, not in the legal sense, no, I realize that, but in some sense, surely. Those defense doctors were pretty convincing. What was it they called him? A psychopathic personality.
But that was his own idea. Oh, yes, that's what's worrying you. You can put it right out of your head. Ron was no more mad than you are.
No, well, if he wasn't mad, he was bad.
Well, luckily for us all, that's not hereditary.
Ah, you haven't read my little book. Savageness seems to be inherited by rats, and rats produce rats.
Look, you mustn't let this...
Listen... What was he, this man I so closely resemble? You tell me he was sane. Very well, I accept that, but so much the worse. His character came out pretty clearly at the trial. He was a monster.
No, he wasn't. He was charm.
Charm, yes. Charm. Was his stock in trade, that's very clear. Right from the beginning, when he was scarcely more than a child, what was he? A cheap fraud. He never had a single relationship that wasn't fraudulent. You were simply another victim. Only it didn't have to be your money he wanted.
I'm sorry.
No. No, you couldn't realize, of course. You couldn't know. I loved him.
Even when you knew what he was like?
Because I always knew.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, not what he'd done. Of course, I didn't know that. But I knew him. He wasn't like what you've been saying at all. That's not a man. It's a newspaper story. People aren't like that. Well, not when you love them. And that's what they really are, not what they seem to policemen or judges or newspapermen. Oh, I can see what's happened. Of course, you and Rachel thought that I was saying that you were like some insane, inhuman monster. But you're not. Such a man never existed. You're like someone who is very like you. Don't keep looking at him to see what you're like. Look at yourself. Look into your own heart, and you'll see what he was like.
You loved him, but what he was doesn't depend on that. It's a matter of fact. You don't suggest he wasn't guilty of murder?
No, he was guilty.
Well, then, there must have been something wrong.
Oh, well, of course there was something wrong.
And exactly the same thing that's wrong with you.
Ah, well, really, I hardly think at the moment...
You can't run away from this. You've got to listen. You're afraid of something that doesn't exist. But there is something to be afraid of, something that's in you. Oddly enough, it's the very thing that makes you a good schoolmaster. What you have in common with Ron is something good, or it can be. It's all a question of how you use it. Ron became what he was because he was more talented than other boys of his kind, not less. He was gifted like you are. But his gift destroyed him. All along the line, imagination was his downfall. Well, don't imaginative boys at the school pose and pretend to put on acts? Oh, of course they do. But it doesn't matter because they're safe here till it's over. But where was he at 14? Well, he was a page boy. That sort of adolescent posing and pretending doesn't take long to become delinquency, folks. Pretenses, pride.
Yes, 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 I see that. Unfortunately, it begs the question, there must have been some streak of brutality, ruthlessness in
him. It wasn't brutal at all.
Yes, but imagination doesn't make us murderers. There must have been something else.
Yes, there was. And that's in you, too. Insecurity. Why do you think he killed that girl?
Well, because he threatened to expose
him. Yes, but not to the police. He had very little fear from the police, you know. There was dishonesty, of course, but they wouldn't have had a case against
him. Well, to his clients.
No, not to his clients, nor to his friends at the golf club. But to me. She threatened to tell me. You see, he never could really believe that he was loved. He was afraid that if I knew the truth, I'd despise him.
I congratulate you. You've made quite a presentable story. But doesn't it occur to you that you may be sentimentalizing him a little?
What did you say? You wait. You wait till you've sat in court and listened to the death sentence passed on someone you love. And when you know that it's just, well, use your imagination on that. No, you listen. Think what those next weeks were like. I had to go and visit him, you know, while he was waiting. There was no real ground for appeal. We both knew that. The date of the death was fixed. It was 8 o'clock in the morning with a double brandy. I noticed it didn't mention that in your book. And he was young. Only about your age. Our whole lives were before us. I took you to see him once. He was fond of you. But I don't suppose you ever thought of that. I used to come away from the prison, see the people in the streets. It was spring. The girls were just starting their summer frocks, and I used to think, all nice, ordinary, kindly people. You all approve of what's going to happen. You'll be sorry for me, I suppose, but you won't lift a finger to alter it. Why should they, after all? Wait till you've been through that. God, it knocks a sentimentality out of you, good and proper.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, but the uselessness of it all. He needn't have done it. Because I knew. Oh, not the details, of course. I knew the kind of front he was trying to keep up with me. I didn't dare tell him. He thought my love for him depended on my not knowing, on my thinking he was... Oh, it sounds so silly now. Thinking he was a gentleman. It was my fault it happened. I was too anxious not to upset him. But I'm not going to make the same mistake with you. You're afraid that Rachel can't love you because of your origins. But I'm going to make you face up to them. Admit your likeness to Ron so that you can avoid his mistake.
Well, that shouldn't be so very difficult. After all, he was a murderer.
What does that mean? That in a moment of panic, he did one idiotic, destructive thing. He destroyed not only the life of that wretched girl, but his own life and very nearly yours and mine. The lives of the only two people in the world that he loved. Don't you recognize that? Don't you see that in yourself, too?
I deny it. You're pressing this preposterous likeness out of all reason.
Do you know, when you reminded me most vividly of Ron, well, it was this evening when you'd been to the telephone and you came back. You were very gay and excited. You were full of plans. Well, that reminded me of the one evening when Ron came back like that. He was gay and light-hearted, too, more than usual. He was full of plans for the future. He got out a lot of travel books from steamship companies. He always collected them. They fascinated him. Tasmania, Chile, Peru, South Africa. He made me choose where I'd like to live. Lima. He kept on saying that. Let's go and live in Lima.
He was laughing a lot. He was excited. So I knew that something was wrong. But I didn't know what until some days later. That was the night of the murder. Only half an hour before, he'd been pushing that girl's body into the water. He was restless and light-hearted because he knew that he'd thrown his life away. And so did you tonight. This resignation of yours is your murder. You do think? God, I only hope it's not too late.
Oh, it's not too late. They want me to stay here.
No. I meant too late for you and Rachel.
Rachel?
Poor girl, she doesn't know how to cope. She's frightened of you.
Rachel, frightened of me? Nonsense.
She's been frightened of you for a long time. Imagination and fear. The most destructive combination in the world. That's all.
Sorry I've been so long. I've been helping Nanny, having a visitor puts her in rather a flat. Am I interrupting?
And a very good thing, dear. I expect I've said far too much. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'll go to bed. It's been a tiring day. Good night, Paul.
Good night.
I'll just come and see that you've got everything you want. Oh, ashtray reading lamp. You haven't forgotten anything. Good night, dear.
Rachel, wait a moment. Come here.
I must just go and see that she's all right.
Come here.
Paul. Paul, don't. Don't look at me like that.
She was right. You are frightened of me.
No. No, please, let me explain.
You can't explain away that look, my darling.
You're a million miles away. I can't reach you. You lived through all this by yourself. Oh, I'm not the right person. You need someone different, tougher, with more experience, like her.
One needs, unfortunately, only the person one loves.
But if you love the wrong sort of person who can't help, if we're to be like this, what's to become of us?
Well, if character is destiny, I suppose the pattern of my father's life will somehow repeat itself in me. Hmm?
Oh, I'm the wrong person. You ought to marry someone else. Not me, not me.
Ah, I always knew the time would come when you'd reproach me for it.
I don't reproach you, I reproach myself.
Your manners, my darling, are perfect, but it comes to the same thing. Well, thank God we've no children. I shan't have done you any irreparable harm if we cut our losses and pack up.
Oh, no.
I don't understand. You're afraid of me. You've seen that. You're terrified of our future. You say I ought not to have married you. Very well. I offer you the chance to escape.
I don't want to escape. I love you.
Even if I am like my father?
You're not.
She makes out a very good case for it. Suppose she's right. You don't pretend that would make no difference?
Oh, you don't seem to begin to understand. Yes, of course it would make a difference.
Ah.
Loving you would become misery, anxiety, terrors. It's becoming already. You don't think I'm happy, do you? I've never been happy for more than a day or two since we married. You've never given me a chance. Oh, yes, it can make that sort of difference. The difference between happiness and misery. But it can't make the difference between loving you and not loving you. Nothing can do that ever.
Nothing.
Oh, God, I can't stand this. Sometimes I think I should go mad. Love I'm talking about. Love, love, love. Not esteem, not respect, not something you can earn by good conduct or lose by bad behavior. Love isn't rational. It's something that happens. I love you, whether I like it or not, however much harm it does me. Even when you're aloof, ironic, frightening even. Yet even then, don't you understand? My heart turns over with love for you because of the way you laugh or move your hands. For better, for worse, that's not a vow, it's a description.
I can't believe it.
Oh!
It's all right, my darling, it's all right. It's all right. Rachel, my darling. Forgive me, I suppose I never really could believe it was possible.
It's easy, you know, really. It could have been all this time.
That's what you've been afraid of, isn't it? Just as he was.
Oh, do you mean...
Yes, Ron. He only shot that girl because he was afraid of what exposure might do to his marriage. A threat to what he valued most. And yet there was no need. She loves him still.
Yes.
And he must have realized that. When it was too late for him.
Darling.
something. I'd better go and see if she's got all she wants. It's all right, I'll be back.
Did I leave some exam papers? Ah, there they are. Good. Oh, there was a time when I looked forward to correcting the boys' essays. I used to think one would see what had been going on inside their heads. One doesn't, you know.
What would you say, Arthur, if I told you I'm going to stay here?
Hmm? Then you'll be able to do the library?
Arthur, you love that library like a child.
No, it must have a man of imagination.
Oh, I'm through with imagination. In future, the young gentlemen in my form shall keep their noses to the grindstone of fact.
Oh, you're joking, of course.
You look quite annoyed, Arthur.
But to me, that sort of talk is blasphemy, dear boy. Without imagination, how can we apprehend the simplest fact? To me, I suppose, any day now, time must have a stop. Half a century of reading and thought, and what does it all amount to? One sentence from Keats' letters, the only fragment I've shored against my ruin. I am certain of nothing but the holiness of the heart's affection and the truth of imagination.
The holiness of the heart's affection? Yes, I believe in that.
In A Question of Fact by Winyard Brown, Nina Trafford was played by Noel Hood. Nanny, Margot Boyd. Paul Gardner, Martin Jarvis. Rachel Gardner, Jane Knowles. Charles Trafford, John Bentley. Arthur Lamb, Morris Denham. Grace Smith was played by Coral Brown. The play was produced by Martin Jenkins.